This is The Inside Story, a program of biblical teaching that we trust will bring insight into God's Word and application to your life today.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise Him this day. I want to thank you for all the cards, the letters, the phone calls that we've been receiving. We're still in the early stages of this radio ministry. This is only our second week, and yet it's been tremendous to hear from so many people around the whole metropolitan Washington area, and we're grateful that it seems that this program is of some help to you. We want to know that. We also want to know if there's any particular way in which we can reach beyond it to meet some need in your life. At the end of this broadcast, we'll be repeating the address where you can write us and the phone number where you can call us if we can stand with you. Perhaps you have a prayer request or there's some other specific need. Perhaps you'd just like to talk to somebody about the Lord. We'd love to be able to share the life of our parish with you. And as I said at the very outset, we're not really looking for new members. We want you to brighten the corner where you are. But if you don't have a church home, if you're looking for one, we'd sure enjoy extending the warmest of welcomes to you. Two things in particular that I'd like to mention about our church. We have on Wednesday evenings an ongoing teaching series in which at the present time we're trying to get an overview of the whole Old Testament story. So many people avoid it altogether, or they'll just take a little tiny piece here and there without having any understanding of the context. And we're trying to give some tools that will enable people to get into the Scripture for themselves, to understand it much more deeply, so that God can speak through the whole of His Word, so that we can know the whole counsel of God. And we offer these lectures on Wednesday evening, 7:30, and you'd be most welcome to join us anytime that it's convenient. Also at 7:30 on Friday evenings, we have a prayer and praise service. It's a wonderful time, not just for Truro folk, but we find a great number of people coming from other churches of all denominations, many of whom are very actively involved in their own churches, and we encourage them to continue to be so. But they want to come and share a different kind of an experience with Christians of all different backgrounds, and we have a wonderful time together. There are programs for the children at the same time, and we just share together in prayer and in praise, in teaching. We come around the Lord's table. And we've seen God move in extraordinary ways in that service. There have been dramatic healings by the power of His Spirit. And so if you're able to join us on a Friday evening, it's very informal. Come 7:30 in the church at 10520 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia. This week we're studying about the witness of Peter. We've seen Peter walking on the water with Jesus until he looked aside and saw the waves rolling in. As soon as he took his eyes off the Lord, down he went. Thou art Peter, and like a rock thou shalt sink. We saw him again at Caesarea Philippi answering the question, who do you say that I am? And Peter gave the right answer, even though he hardly began to understand the implications of it. Yesterday we saw him, along with James and John, at the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter blurting out, Lord, it's wonderful that we're here because we can make booths for you and Elijah and Moses. Our guy has made it into the big time. Here is Jesus, right up there along with Elijah and Moses, until God Himself overshadows the whole scene and says, this is my beloved Son. Listen to Him alone. Moses and Elijah have come here to honor Him. It's not that He's finally made it into their company. They've come to honor Him. We come today to very near the end of the ministry of Jesus, the earthly ministry of Jesus. And in John 13, we read about the Last Supper. John 13, beginning at the very first verse. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved His own who were in the world, He loved them to the end. And during supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray Him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands, and that He had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper, laid aside His garments, and girded himself with a towel. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. He came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, "What I'm doing you do not now understand, but afterward you will." And Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." The first thing I want us to notice is what it says about Jesus' own understanding. From the time of Caesarea Philippi, Jesus has been trying to get it across to his disciples that his whole ministry focuses upon a cross. He's going to Jerusalem to suffer and die. They don't understand it then. They don't understand it right up until the end. I suggested yesterday that perhaps one of the reasons that Moses and Elijah were there on the Mount of Transfiguration was because they did, at least to some extent, understand that. And they were encouraging Jesus. Moses had been faithful unto death. Elijah had been faithful up until the time he was carried off into heaven in a whirlwind. They knew what it was to be faithful to the end. And they were coming to encourage Jesus in the fate that awaited him. Jesus knew that this was coming. He knew it from the very beginning. And now he's ready to face it. It's just hours away at this point. But Jesus knows something else as well. Verse 3. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God. Jesus was able to get up from table, strip off his outer garments, wrap a towel around himself, get down on the floor, and wash his disciples' dirty, smelly feet. Jesus knew who he was. He knew where he had come from. He knew where he was going. He knew what his destiny was. He was reconciled to it. And he didn't need the affirmation of men at this point. Isn't that interesting? So often we find it hard to do the thing that in human terms would seem to humiliate us. Perhaps, once again, it's because we're looking in the wrong direction. We're looking at the esteem of men. What do they think of me? What will they think if they see me doing this? But you see, Jesus was looking unto his Father. He knew that the Father had given all things into his hands. He knew that right now he could call down a legion of angels to do his bidding. He knew who he was in relationship to the Father. And because he was secure in the Father's love, he could afford to do the work of a servant. The work of the least of the servants, by the way. This was the thing that the lowest fella on your paid staff would do. Your lowest servant would take care of this. And Jesus did that work of washing his disciples' dirty, smelly feet. Because he knew who he was. He was secure in relationship to the Father. You know, before I met Karen and got married 20 years ago, I used to be very concerned about what women thought of me. And even women that I didn't particularly care much about, I found myself always trying to impress them. Probably none of you can identify with that, but that's the way it was for me. And a very interesting thing happened. When I met Karen, when I fell in love with Karen, and when I discovered the wonder of her love for me, in a strange way, the opinion of other women began to be less and less important to me. Do you know what the net result was? I found that for the first time in my life, I began to be free to be myself with other women because I was no longer trying to impress them. It didn't really matter. Oh, of course, it still matters. It matters what people think of me. I'm still human enough to have that kind of concern about anybody. But to a very significant extent, as I began to be secure in Karen's love for me, the opinion of other women didn't matter anymore. And you know, I found myself becoming a nicer person around them when I was less concerned about what they thought. I think there's something of that going on here in the life of Jesus. He's secure in his Father's love, and he doesn't really care what anybody else thinks. He can afford to take the position of the servant. He comes to Peter, though, and Peter says, "You're not going to wash my feet." If it's humiliating to do the work of the servant, it's equally humiliating to have it done. I don't know if you've ever had anybody wash your feet. It's not our custom these days, and so we have a double problem with it. But I've been in India and I've been in Africa where the first thing you do when you come into somebody's home is you have your feet washed. Because you're traveling dusty roads in sandals just as they were in Jesus' day. It is common etiquette when you go into a home in India, the very first thing, you wash your feet. Or if they're able to provide a servant, the servant washes your feet for you. That is humiliating. And I suspect you can think of all sorts of other ways in which it's humiliating to be on the receiving end. And that's what Peter is feeling. Lord, you will never wash my feet. And yet notice what Jesus says to him. If I do not wash you, you have no part in me. This fourth vignette in the life of Peter is one in which he needs to learn to receive from Jesus. It's not just enough to see Jesus doing wonderful things and want to emulate him, want to do them with him. It's not enough to have the right answer. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. It's not enough to know that this is God's Son, whom we want to honor, and even to have the rebuke from God the Father, honor him alone. Not on the level with Elijah and Moses. Listen to him alone, uniquely. It's not enough. Peter's got to come to the point of being willing to have Jesus minister to him. You know, most of the time that happens today through the members of his body. You have to share your need with the members of the body of Christ for Jesus to meet that need. One of the wonderful things that we're experiencing at Truro is the body of Christ really beginning to be the body of Christ and meeting each other's needs. And I find myself sometimes having to say to somebody, you know, you mustn't be too proud to receive this. When one member of the body hurts, all suffer together. When one is honored, all rejoice together. That's the way it is. And you've got to be willing to receive that from the Lord himself and from his kids. Peter says, Lord, not only my feet, but my hands and my head. And Jesus says, no, you still don't understand. I've made you clean, but now I need to keep ministering to you. You've become a Christian, my friend. I suspect that that's why you're listening to me this morning. And Jesus wants to keep ministering to you. He's made you clean by the blood of his cross, but don't be too proud to have him wash your feet, to reach into the dirty corners of your life and wash them as he did for Peter. That's the inside story.